This is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught, 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance, a 99-yard touchdown play.
The Sun Life Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Patriots clinch the AFC East Championship in 2012 with a 23-16 win over the Miami Dolphins at Sun Life Stadium. Wasn't pretty. Certainly wasn't how I envisioned the football game going, but that's where you need to start. A t-shirt and hat game, a division championship game. You knock off the Miami Dolphins on the road, and you take home the division. That's right, Kevin. So that's where we'll start here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. You know how to get in touch, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Want to start with an overarching question. Now that we know the Patriots are division champs, and look, you want to be your division champ, your conference champ, and ultimately championing the NFL, raising the Super Bowl trophy. Those are the goals every single season, right? And the Patriots have just checked off the first one. But the overarching question we asked on the pregame show today, and where I want to start in this postgame show, following the Patriots' seven-point win in Miami. My apologies, by the way, if you had the Patriots, minus 7.5. But I want to start with this Patriots team coming off back-to-back blowouts of the Colts and the Jets. People were starting to talk about New England as the favorite for the Super Bowl championship, as the best team in the NFL. And I asked, after those two games coming into this one today, how had your expectations changed for the Patriots? And I'll ask a similar question. What did today's game do for your expectations for the Patriots as a Super Bowl contender? You can weigh in, 508-298-0398, or email us, webradio@patriots.com. And I'll be consistent in this. You know, last week, I thought the Broncos played a complete dud of a game against Kansas City. And I sort of looked at him, and I've been saying now for a couple of weeks, I think the Broncos are slightly overhyped. But I gave Denver credit for surviving a game on the road that they had to get at this point. And I'll do the same thing with the Patriots, especially because you're taking home the division. It puts a slightly different spin on this thing, but they can't afford to slip up, especially looking ahead to the Texans and the Niners the next couple of weeks. You can't afford to slip up in a game like this. The Patriots didn't. As we said, wasn't pretty, but they improved to 9-3. They're still in the thick of things for a bye week in the AFC, and you can take care of business against Houston next week in a head-to-head matchup. So how do you feel about the Patriots expectation-wise? For me, today didn't do much to dissuade me. Wasn't pretty, wasn't what you were looking for necessarily, but you did get the W. And I'll tell you, the defense for the third straight week forced some turnovers and I thought looked pretty good. You have to consider who it was against. You know, Ryan Tannehill and that Dolphins offense, but I thought it looked pretty good as the Patriots beat the Dolphins 23-16 here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you, and Sun Life Financial can help you protect your financial security whether you're in the game or sideline with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit, get to know Sun Life. Coming up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, you'll hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. That'll be in about 25 minutes. You'll also hear from the Patriots quarterback Tom Brady in less than an hour, and we hope to get someone out of that victorious Patriots locker room as well coming up here in a matter of moments. But we do want to kick off every postgame show with the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up!
On the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
As always, you can send in your good and bad and even injured list to webradio at patriots.com. You can also weigh in on the phones, 508-298-0398. For me, it was tough to find good performances in this one, but I will start with an impressive final drive for the Patriots. As bad as their offense looked all day, as bad as their run game looked all day, when they had to have it, when you had to chew up clock and run the football, that's what they did. 16 plays, 77 yards, ate up over 7 minutes of clock, 7:18, and you kicked what proved to be the game-winning field goal. So that, to me, even though, again, it was a 16-play drive, it wasn't some of the quicksilver strikes that we've seen out of the Patriots or big plays, certainly none of that. But I thought when you absolutely had to have that drive to close out Miami, the Patriots got it. So I'll start there with that final drive on what I thought was a shaky day for the offense, because my other two players on the good list were from the defensive side of the football. Jerod Mayo, I thought, deserved to be on there. And it wasn't because of the tackle totals, which, you know, with Jerod Mayo are typically good, led the team with six tackles along with Kyle Arrington. But I thought he had a huge sack. Miami's second to last drive, it was third down, perfectly timed blitz. You're following some of the tweets, or at least I was, and Greg Bedard of the Boston Globe was speculating, because the running back stayed in on the play, that it looked like that was Mayo's call to go in on his own. So I thought that was a huge play by Jerod Mayo. And I also thought that Trevor Scott getting the start in Chandler Jones's place, and because Jermaine Cunningham is out, getting a couple of sacks, forcing a fumble, I thought he deserved to be on the good list as well. And he was in the backfield a few other times. So I thought that final drive for the Pats, Jerod Mayo and Trevor Scott, all on the good list. The bad list for me, and again, it's because of the standard we hold this player to, but Tom Brady, 24 of 40, 238, touchdown and a pick.
Everyone sucks but me.
And I don't even think those overall numbers sound that poor. And I don't really think they do the game that he played justice, in that I thought there were some poor throws today from Tom Brady. Some throws he left out on the field. For instance, the opening drive, he had Aaron Hernandez wide open. And granted, Hernandez got his hands on it, but Brady just led him too much. It would have been a touchdown. And Brady was hurt by some drops, too. Hernandez had one. Welker dropped a touchdown, which is the only reason he's not on my good list, despite the huge performance he had. Patriots could have had more points because of his drop. So Brady certainly could have had some help, but he missed Hernandez on the opening drive. He missed Edelman. He threw a poor pick when he was forcing the ball to Aaron Hernandez. And in general, the offense was stagnant, so I put that on the quarterback. In the Broncos game, we came in and said, with how well they're moving the football, that's got to be on the quarterback with the way Brady played. Well, this is the opposite of that. When the offense is stagnant and struggles to move it, that's on the quarterback. So he was on the bad list for me. Maybe harsh, but that's how I view it. The O-line struggled all day. They're also on my bad list, and maybe that had something to do with why Brady struggled. I'm sure it did. Four sacks, Sebastian Vollmer looked particularly stiff or uncomfortable or whatever you'd like to call it. He tweaked his back in pregame warmups. I thought that showed. The Patriots also lost Dan Connolly during the game. They've been playing without Logan Mankins. So they're dinged up on the offensive line. We know this. But I thought it was a poor game for the offensive line, and Cameron Wake almost killed Brady at one point in this game. Those four sacks stood out. And by the way, for much of the game, the Patriots struggled to run the football until that final drive. And also Steven Gostkowski. At what point, and maybe the Patriots are already at the point, they worked out kickers this week, but at what point do Patriots fans start to wonder about Steven Gostkowski in a big spot, in a playoff game, or a game for home field advantage, or whatever it is? When do you start worrying about Steven Gostkowski? I know it was a 49-yarder, but apparently it was with the wind at his back, and the thing wasn't even close, and he missed a field goal for the third straight game. So Brady, the offensive line, and Steven Gostkowski on my bad list. The injuries, as I tracked them, Dan Connolly left the game early on with a back injury. He's been on the injury report, and he left. I certainly didn't think that helped anything for the offensive line. In fact, the Patriots rotated it around in relief of Connolly at right guard. It initially was Nick McDonald. He was replaced for a couple of series by Marcus Cannon before coming back into the game. So Connolly out with a back injury. Also, Julian Edelman left with a foot injury and didn't return. So that's my good, bad, and injured here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you. Live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Patriots do capture a 23-16 win over the Miami Dolphins. They improved to 9-3, and more importantly, take home the 2012 AFC East Championship. Still a lot more at stake for the Patriots going forward. But they survive on the road in Miami, a place they've traditionally struggled in December. Wasn't pretty, but I do think those are the kind of games good teams win. And I do think the Patriots are a good team. And I thought there were promising developments on the defensive side of the football for the Patriots today. I thought the defense looked pretty good. And it wasn't hit you over the head with big plays like the Colts game or the Jets game. But the Dolphins had 277 total yards. Patriots held them to just over 100 yards rushing and 3.7 a carry. 1 of 2 in the red zone. Forced another turnover in this one. You know, got some pressure on Tannehill. And again, it's Ryan Tannehill and the Miami Dolphins. It's not exactly an explosive offense. But I thought there were positive developments on that side of the football. And honestly, the last 3 weeks since they've had Tlaib, there have been improvements. I talked about it after the Jets game. I said, I'd be willing to look at it. Whether or not the addition of one player could help this defense, I don't know that it's the only reason, but they are playing better defense. They're getting bigger plays, at least the 2 weeks before this one. And today, granted, the level of opponent wasn't great, but you hold them to 16 points and really no sustained drives. There was the one right before halftime, and it was frustrating to watch for Patriots fans. 12 plays, 80 yards right before halftime. The only other time the Dolphins marched it down the field was the 12 play 65 yarder where Mayo got the sack on third down to hold them to a field goal. And I actually thought, even though the Patriots let them march down the field, you still got the big play that you had to at the end of the drive. The only other points the Dolphins had were at the end when the Patriots were clearly just trying not to give up big plays, and the play after Brady's pick where the Dolphins basically started in field goal range at New England's 34. Really, one sustained drive for a touchdown is all the Patriots allowed today. And by the way, one update on Julian Edelman. I'm just seeing the tweet here from Jeff Howe of the Boston Herald. Edelman on crutches, walking boot. Not a good sign there. So the Patriots lose Connolly and Julian Edelman, and you got to wonder what the Pats are going to do at wide receiver. You know, it's Brandon Lloyd and Welker, and then what? Matt Slater? You already lost Salas to the Eagles on waivers. You're going to bring Deion Branch back? I wouldn't be surprised if that was something that took place in the next couple of days. Anyway, we'll take your feedback on this one. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com here on the Sun Life Patriots post-game show. And the overarching question for you, and we'll take anything, but the overarching question for you, a lot of Patriots fans were feeling good about this team as a Super Bowl contender coming into this game today. How did today's game alter your expectations? Let's kick things off with Al in New Jersey. What'd you think of that game today, Al?
Adam, you know what? 9-3, you win the division. I have nothing but good to say. You know, they showed in the fourth quarter that they're not one-dimensional. Okay, they got the ball with 28 seconds left to go in the fourth quarter. They ran 16 plays, most of it running. So that shows you that they can get the running game when they want to, and they're not one-dimensional, which means that, to me, they had a great, great day. You give Miami 277 total yards, you got to say nothing but good for the defense.
Al, I'm with you on that. And like I said, most of my frustrations would, for today, be on the offensive side of the football for the Patriots. But that said, I feel good about their offense. I think their offense is a lot closer to what we've seen the last couple of weeks than what we saw today. So they're not big picture concerns. Like, I don't have big picture concerns about Tom Brady or about the Patriots offense. And today the defense was pretty good. It's probably why on balance I feel better about this win than I would guess some other people do around the city. And perhaps I'm wrong about that. And when I say that, I mean media members, but I probably feel better about it than a good chunk of people do, because you're looking at a good performance out of the defense and a game you had to have. That's a game where some were calling it a trap game. Not me before. I thought the Patriots would roll, but some were calling it a trap game. And maybe that's what happened to the Patriots, but I did find more positives in the win than poor play, and I think a lot of it is because of what they did on defense. Al, I agree.
Very, very good. We'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks for the phone call, Al. Appreciate it. You know, for the Patriots' overall expectations, that's the question that I asked off the top, and I answered my own question. Didn't change my overall expectations for the Patriots. You know, a game where you struggle on the road against a team that has a decent defense and can limit the run, and we saw the Dolphins do that for 3.5 quarters, and the Dolphins fit that bill. I don't know. You know, for me, at some point the Patriots were going to be slowed down, and they still scored 23 points. Not that that's something to hang your hat on, but It wasn't like the Seattle game or the Arizona game where it just felt like for stretches of time the Patriots couldn't move the football. This was more they'd get into field goal range and just couldn't cap it off. Welker would drop a touchdown. Or the Patriots would be first and goal from the one-yard line and Brady would get sacked on two out of the next three plays. You know, stuff like that where it felt like the Patriots were moving the football, but they couldn't just quite push it over the hump. And again, big picture, I don't have concerns about the offense. I don't have concerns about Brady. I don't. I don't have concerns about the offensive line. I think they're going to be able to score points. So today, yeah, the offense wasn't good. But in general, the defense has made strides now 3 weeks in a row. They went from making big plays and scoring plays for two straight weeks to really holding an opponent to one sustained touchdown drive all day. I think that's progress for the defense. I do. Let's continue with the phone calls. Joel is in Atlanta, Georgia. What were your thoughts on today's game, Joel?
It was a good game, Adam. Unlike you, I do have concerns about the offensive line because if you look at the last two Super Bowls against the Giants, mm-hmm. the offensive line really hurt us when it came down to the Super Bowl. That's the only thing I'm worried about is the offensive line. I think other than that, offensively, we're good on that. Our defense, of course, stepped up again this week. And, yeah, there were some plays that Tabliev gave up at the end of the game. But overall, I think it was a great win.
Yeah, and look, I hear where you're coming from on the offensive line, Joel. And I think it was a good win. Great win to me is a little strong, and I'm sure that's just a bit of hyperbole on his part. I don't think this is a win you have to feel bad about. I hope this isn't a week where you have to deal with talk show hosts like myself, and I've certainly done this before, where you come in and they tell you, well, you didn't learn anything about the team this week. And because they were going against a rookie quarterback and a relatively poor offense, that you can't learn anything about this team. I don't think that. There was something tangible at stake, and the Patriots accomplished it. I thought their drive at the end of the game, as frustrating as their offense was, I thought that was a highlight. And I think their defense for 3 weeks in a row has shown you something to feel good about it. You know, even if they were giving up big plays in the Colts game, you know, even if they gave up some yards to Mark Sanchez on Thanksgiving, which I told you on this program, I didn't think was a big deal. I think there are promising signs out of the defense, and that to me is something I would hang my hat on. I had trouble finding individual quality performances for my good list, but overall, I felt pretty good about the defense and the way they played today. I did. On the offensive line, back to Joel's original point, you know, I guess my bigger picture concerns with the offensive line would be injuries, but it would be more so what happened today. You lose guys within the game. If Dante Scarnecchia has a week or 2 weeks or whatever it is leading up to a Super Bowl to get Nick McDonald or Ryan Wendell or Dan Connolly or Russ Hochstein or whoever it's been over the years, Brandon Gorin, Tom Ashworth, whoever it is, I feel like Dante Scarnecchia will do that. And the caller's right. They struggled against the Giants in a couple of Super Bowls. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Pretty dynamic defensive line, but yeah, they didn't protect Tom Brady in either of those Super Bowls. That said, I don't feel week to week like the offensive line is an issue. I thought it struggled today. I didn't think today was their best day, but I think some of that was because losing guys in game. And don't forget, there have been other instances this year where that's happened. They've lost players within a game. They lost Mankins and Connolly in the same game a few weeks back and replaced them with McDonald and Donald Thomas in the middle of the game, the interior offensive line, and they were fine. So they've dodged that bullet before. This week was a step in the wrong direction. If we see it strung together a few weeks in a row, maybe I'll amend that. Maybe I will have some concerns about the offensive line. But sitting here today, beginning of December, their first bad game in a few weeks, no. I don't have concerns about the offensive line. I don't. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Today, what did it do for your expectations for the Patriots? As a Super Bowl contender, 23-16 win in Miami, they improve to 9-3, and they take home the AFC East crown. It's the fourth straight AFC East title for the Patriots and the 10th under Bill Belichick. And by the way, I don't know if you're watching this, Kevin Collins, but Andrew Luck just threw a game-winning touchdown to Donnie Avery, I believe it was. Colts had 3-4 seconds left, something along those lines, dumps it off to Avery, scoots into the end zone, and the Colts win on a walk-off touchdown in Detroit, 34-33. shootout of a game between Matt Stafford and Andrew Luck, and Luck has the last laugh. Not to go off on that for too long, but anyone who wants to put down that Colts win for you, you look back at it now and you say, what's Indianapolis? 8-4? Is that right? Colts are 8-4, and you smoked them. So, I don't know. That win to me looks a little better looking back on it. It's not an elite cream of the crop win. I think your win over Denver is, and you have a chance to post a couple of those coming up the next 2 weeks against the Texans and the 49ers. But that Colts win, you go back and look at it, and I don't know, it looks decent. And people who are putting down that win with Indianapolis sitting here at 8-4 and now on the right side of the playoff bubble, I would say, if they weren't already coming into today, that's a win you can look back as Patriots fans and say, we smoked that team. And that's a team you may see again in the postseason. Let's continue with the phone calls. Vinny is in Michigan. What were your thoughts on today's game, Vin?
Hey, I was happy. You know, I like to shut up the people that say that the offense can't win the game for you or make a drive when it matters most, and they just showed you that. Miami's got a pretty good defense. Their pass rush is good, and I mean, the secondary is not the greatest, but there's that. And then it looks like the 49ers might lose their tie to the Rams for the second time.
Right.
So.
Could you imagine if they tied again? That's another game we haven't touched on. There is a minute left. It's 13-13 as the Niners and Rams could tie again. But you're right, Vinny. That's an excellent point. And I appreciate the phone call. 508-298-0398. How many times have we heard that early on this season? Oh, well, the offense can't close it out, and they don't have that killer instinct. Wrong. You know, today, that's the exact kind of drive when you needed it. Eight-ish minutes left in the game. The offense goes 16 plays, 77 yards, eats up more than 7 minutes of clock. That was at the top of my good list in this game today. And Vinny's right. I didn't frame it this way off the top of the show, and I probably should have. He's right. Everyone who questions the offense and their ability to close out a game, well, they did it. And I think the Dolphins have a decent defense. You know, it's not a bad defense. I wouldn't put it up with Houston, the 49ers, or whomever, but they can generate some pressure on you. And they clearly gave the Patriots fits today, and Tom Brady, more specifically, fits. And they limited the Patriots' running game for most of the day. But when the Patriots absolutely had to have it, when they needed it most, they got it. They were able to close out Miami with their offense. That's what a lot of people here in New England were asking for back in September. Where's your offense? Why can't you close people out? And the Patriots did that today. So, I don't know. I don't expect we'll hear people on the other side of that, the people who are calling for it, but I think you got it here today out of the Patriots. Again, they capture their fourth straight AFC East championship, their 10th, under Bill Belichick with a 9-3 win, improved to 9-3, rather, with a 23-16 win over the Miami Dolphins. The AFC East race is over. Now you're looking at the rest of the AFC. And you see Houston sitting up there at the top of the conference. And they have been for a while. Again, you'll get a crack at them next week. But Houston sits there at 11-1. They won their division. Broncos, 8-3. They're going to win their division. Baltimore, 9-2. They have Pittsburgh. They probably should win their division. So you look back at the Patriots' schedule, if there's a game that bit you, it was that Baltimore game. But when you look at how the Patriots are lining up, they just have to have Baltimore lose a couple, and Baltimore's getting into the meat of their schedule. Let's check some emails
here. No more tie, thank goodness.
What happened?
Legatron hit a 54-yarder.
54-yarder, and he hit a long field goal to send it to overtime, too.
54-yarder to win it.
So the Niners tie and lose to the Rams this year. Well, that stinks. I had been pro Colin Kaepernick, by the way. I imagine I'll hear about that after his performance today. Basically handed the Rams a touchdown. But anyway, we're not here to talk about the Rams. We're not here to talk about the 49ers. We're here to talk about the Patriots. They beat the Miami Dolphins 23-16, and again, improved to 9-3. Checking some of these emails here. webradio@patriots.com. Tyler writes in from Georgia, and he actually wrote this in before the end of the game. I'm writing at the end of the first half, and I don't care that this is the last touchdown, or if this is the last touchdown Miami scores for the season. Any drive that starts on their own 5-yard line, goes to first and 25, and then ends in a touchdown, needs to go on the bad list. Tyler, you're right. I mean, that was a tough drive to watch right before halftime, and not the ideal way to go into the halftime, right? After the Patriots had, in general, outplayed Miami for most of that first half, you're up 17-3. And feeling relatively good about yourselves, and then you give up a 12-play, 80-yard score right before halftime? Not ideal. But to be honest, that's the only drive the Patriots gave up all day. And their defense, though they made strides today, and I like what I've seen the last few weeks, their defense isn't good enough to not give up any sustained touchdown drives over the course of the game. You're right. That one was particularly bad. Start at your own five. You face a first and 25 at one point. But I don't know. I don't think anybody's sitting here going, yeah, the Patriots aren't going to give up any 12-play, 80-yard drives over the course of a game to anyone. You know, I don't feel that good about the defense. So they're going to give up sustained scoring touchdown drives. At some point, they're going to do it. You know, as good as I think they were today, they ain't that good. At least I'm not convinced of that. 508-298-0398. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. We'll take your thoughts on this win today over the Miami Dolphins as the Patriots lock up yet another division championship. And also, how'd today's game alter or impact your expectations for the Patriots as Super Bowl contenders? We'll get into that. Plus, we'll head to the podium and you'll hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. It's coming up next here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on patriots.com.
Ah. That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
A green belt wrapped around our minds, an endless red tape to keep the truth confined.
The Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Following a Patriots 23-16 win over the Miami Dolphins, Patriots move to 9-3 with the victory. They lock up their fourth straight AFC East championship. They lock up their 10th AFC East championship in the last 12 seasons, all, of course, under Bill Belichick. And they remain slightly off the base in the AFC behind Houston, who won earlier today, and Baltimore, who's taking on Pittsburgh right now, and a team the Patriots dropped the game to head-to-head. But the first bit of criteria is checked off the list for the Patriots this year, right? You win your division, then you worry maybe about seeding, you worry about winning your conference, and you worry about winning in the Super Bowl. But the first one is checked off, and the Patriots guarantee themselves, at least a home playoff game on Wild Card Weekend, if nothing else. So we'll take your phone calls, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. We'll get to all of that momentarily, but we promised a member of the victorious New England Patriots from their locker room in Miami following a 23-16 win over the Dolphins. And we welcome in offensive lineman Donald Thomas to the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. And Donald, first of all, thanks so much for taking the time. And secondly, what was the atmosphere like in that locker room after the win?
I appreciate you having me on, but it was great, man. It was a huge relief for us. Everybody was in good spirits and everybody was hugging each other and, you know, happy to be able to win the division and control something here as we go along.
What was the message from Coach Belichick after the win?
That's what we needed to do, was, you know, come out here and put the division away. And we were able to do that today. It wasn't, you know, our game by a long shot, but everyone, you know, knew what was at stake and got it done.
Talking to Patriots offensive lineman Donald Thomas here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com. Donald, we've talked at length about that final drive for you guys. 16 plays, 77 yards. You ate up more than 7 minutes of clock. The bulk of it was done on the ground. What was it like out there as an offensive lineman on a long drive like that to close out the game?
Physical, man. The physical out there. They knew we were going to run the ball. We knew we had to run the ball to hit the clock. We were running plays that they had seen, and it was just, you know, pretty much came down to us just getting the job done.
You guys have had to mix and match quite a bit on the offensive line over the course of the season. Dan Connolly, for instance, today had to leave the game due to injury. How big of a challenge is that, guys, for you guys, week to week, constantly mixing and matching, replacing people on the O-line?
I mean, everyone knows that, you know, we've been, you know, mixing and matching pretty much all season. And when stuff like that happens, you know, the next guy just steps up and makes it a great job today, coming in there and filling in for Dan, and they didn't miss a beat, you know. And that's the main thing, is the guys that come in and, you know, pick up and where someone else left off and just finish the game off.
He's Patriots offensive lineman Donald Thomas. A big part of that 16-play, 77-yard drive, ate up 7 minutes and more of the clock as the Patriots beat the Miami Dolphins 23-16, take home their fourth straight AFC East championship. And Donald, thanks so much for taking the time here on Patriots.com.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Donald Thomas joining us here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. We've been getting a lot of feedback on it through the phone calls, the emails. That drive at the end of the game was great. You know, you've heard the criticism of the offense not being able to close out games. Well, guess what? They closed it out offensively. And maybe it wasn't slinging the ball all over the field. You know, maybe it wasn't Brady picking apart a defense and finding receivers the whole way down the field. But it's the offense closing out a game. And they struggled to run the football most of the day. Struggled to run the football. But when they had to, when they needed it most, they got it. I thought that was promising. And I thought that was on the heels of a promising day out of the defense. Remember, you're down arguably two of your best pass rushers. No Chandler Jones, no Jermaine Cunningham. One to injury, one to suspension. And I thought you picked up pretty well. Trevor Scott did a nice job in relief And seemingly everybody throws for 300 yards on this secondary, and Tannehill didn't today. I was encouraged by the defense for the third straight week. Let's go back to the phone calls. 508-298-0398. John's calling us all the way from Honolulu. What were your thoughts on today's game, John?
Hi, sir. Good evening. I was just wanted to call and say that I'm happy over here to see that the Patriots won. And despite that, the defense of Miami held the running game of New England pretty tight. Although, like you just mentioned, they got what they needed out of Ridley, Green, and even Brandon Lloyd with that one completion. Was able to pull in that first down during that last drive. So, you know, like you mentioned again, we're used to seeing them closing out with these high scoring games, but today it was a little bit different, and it's pretty reassuring as well to see that we can hold that good defense down to a 7-minute drive.
Yeah, and look, and I'll add on to this, John, and I appreciate the phone call, 508-298-0398. And I want to get back to Brandon Lloyd in a second because I think he makes a good point on Lloyd. But there's also this, and I've been one of these people who has preached the Patriots being able to beat you in different ways, right? That's one of the things we loved about the Patriots in 03 and 04. They could beat you in a shootout, right? AFC Championship game against a defensive-minded team like the Steelers. And they could beat you in a slugfest. It's how they beat the high-flying Colts in Foxborough that same year in 04. So we all love that about the Patriots. And I'm not saying that this Patriots team is that yet, but in a game where they had to run it at the end to close out the win, and in a game where they had to get stops and got them, I thought Mayo's sack was monumental at the end of this game. It's beating teams in different ways. As John said, they don't have to blow you out every single week. And I think that's something we learned about the Patriots because, quite frankly, we've had to see them mostly blow teams out to win. In some of the closer ones, they haven't hung on and won those. So I agree with that point from John. I also like the point on Brandon Lloyd, by the way, and not necessarily just the catch. And he was quiet all game, and members of the Patriots media were constantly tweeting about how he wasn't making any plays, and he wasn't. I don't disagree with that. But the catch was great. 10-yard catch. They needed a first down. Toe-tapped on the sideline. And he also recovered the onside kick at the end of the game. So, I don't know. I'm not saying that Brandon Lloyd has been worth the money or even that good. But I think when he needed to make some plays situationally, he did. And I think that was sort of representative of the Patriots today. Like, on the whole, did Brandon Lloyd have a good game? Well, of course not. But when he had to make plays, did he make them? Yeah. I think that's sort of what the Patriots did. It's a microcosm of the team. 508-298-0398. That's how you get in touch here with the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Let's check in with our buddy Russ in Walpole, who has a thought on the Patriots offense.
Adam, I so miss talking to you, my friend.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I miss talking to you as well.
Yeah, listen, the first thing that came to mind, and you've already talked about closing out the game, running the ball, and beating teams in different ways. I couldn't agree with you more. That, to me, is the one most encouraging thing to come out of this. We could go back to the Ravens game. We could go back to some of these losses, and not being able to run the ball, I think, has been an issue. And to take it to the next step, when you weren't able to run it the majority of the game and to be able to close it out, that to me is a step in the right direction. But I also want to mention a big thing. Tom Brady did not play well today. And to be able to figure out a way to win a game when your quarterback, your best player, is not playing well is something to be said for that. And then also, listen, the offensive line, they gave up 4 sacks. He was harassed. But again, when they needed to do it, Adam, the offensive line opened up holes. So again, these are all encouraging signs.
Yeah, and Russ, I appreciate the phone call, and I appreciate the kind words. And look, some of it is the opponent. Like, I don't disagree with that. You know, if you're going to tell me that it's easier to do it against a Miami offense that struggles in general, and what I think is a decent Miami defense, and certainly they can get after the quarterback, but I don't think it's anything special. Let's not pretend it's Houston's defense or the 49ers defense or someone like that, the Bears defense. It's not in that class. I think it's a good, decent defense. So I think that's part of it. I readily admit that. But that said, I like the way Russ put it. Not only are you proving you can beat teams different ways, not only can you win ugly, not only were there promising signs defensively and situationally when you absolutely needed it, whether it's from someone like Brandon Lloyd, as we used as an example, got his toe-tapping catch, recovered an onside kick, good. You'll take those in a win. but also running the football. When you absolutely needed to run it, when you needed to close it out, you got it. When you absolutely needed a stop, you got it with Gerard Mayo's sack. Not just that, but you beat a team without Brady playing his best. I like the way Russ put that. And if you just looked at Brady's numbers, they're certainly not eye-popping, but I also don't think they tell the story of how poor he played. 24 of 40, 238, touchdown and a pick. 74.8 rating, which, you know, is not great, but you don't look at it and say, well, it was a disaster of a day. I look at it as there were throws out there that Brady left, and it happened right on the opening drive. Missed Aaron Hernandez for what should have been a touchdown. Missed Julian Edelman on the next drive, down the field, wide open for what should have been a touchdown. Third drive, Brady's interception, forced the ball to Hernandez. And it seemed like in that first half, that's a lot of what Brady was doing. Forcing the ball to Aaron Hernandez. And Russ is right. And I touched on the offensive line as well. There were issues with the O-line today. There were. And perhaps that's part of the reason Brady struggled. But I just thought even when he had time, he was off the mark with his throws. And that's why I put him on the bad list and not just the offensive line. I put both. Because there was times when he had ample amount of time to throw and just missed his guys. Granted, he was hurt by drops as well. Hernandez had one horrendous drop on the second drive of the game. Welker dropped a touchdown. And honestly, it's the reason I left Welker off the good list, because look at Welker's numbers. 12 catches, 103 yards. It's his 16th double-digit catch game with 100 or more yards. That's the most in NFL history. He also had the Patriots touchdown, or one of the Patriots' two touchdowns, I should say. Ridley had the other. So I thought Welker played a whale of a game. But 12 catches on 18 targets. Some of that's him, some of that's Brady, and a huge drop. So that was enough to just leave him off the good list. And I thought, representative of the game, the defense deserved more people on there than the offense did. I thought about putting Hernandez on there as well, but same thing. Hurt by some drops in this one. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Aaron in Maine. What were your thoughts on today's game, Aaron?
Yeah, I just want to talk about the execution of the play, especially you guys just touched on the last quarter, that last drive. And we have to remember, you know, Gronk is gone for a while. But the front line, the offensive line, just, you know, the running. Because up till then, it was like something like, 60 yards until the fourth quarter.
And then they just churned it out on that last drive. Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, even Hernandez, you know, slotting Hernandez, he's not really a run blocker, but still. You know, the execution, and you're going to need that for Houston, because Houston, you know, they have a good run defense. So I thought the Pats, you know, especially the last drive, and that's something we were all talking about that they were missing with, like, Seattle and Baltimore, is the, you know, to close out those games in the fourth quarter. And I thought today, they did it. They closed it off. They got that, you know, 6-7 minute yard drive. They got points on the board. And then the D, who has been playing very well, especially Will Fork, who's, you know, homecoming, stopping all the Miami's runs, and he's putting it on the quarterback for Miami. I thought it was somewhat, not a complete game, but somewhat close to it, especially what you guys were talking about close games. I mean, it's the first time I think the Pats have really put a close game and wrapped it up somewhat. You know, wrapped it together, and it sets them up, like Brady just said in the post game press conference. It's 1-0, and they got to build. They're building, and I think they can get better. And I think they just set themselves up for Houston, because Houston's going to be a tough game. It's going to be like Baltimore, but I think they're starting to be able to close the game.
Yeah,
especially the close game.
And look, and Aaron, it's a good point, and I appreciate the phone call. Specifically the way they closed it out, he's right. Some of those games early in the year, Arizona, Baltimore, Seattle, games where if you can just close it out, and specifically the last two, Baltimore, Seattle, games where you led. Specifically those games, if you close out, then you're looking at wins in those games, arguably. If you had a drive like you had today to end this one, and I do think those opponents are better, by the way, but if you had that type of drive to end those games, then you might only have one loss. You might have none. And, you know, you can play this game all day. The Patriots could have lost that Jets game. So you can look at games they should have won, games they should have lost, and I don't really want to go down that slippery slope, but that's what people were calling for earlier this year, right? Close out games, get those long sustained drives, and I wasn't feeling good about the running game throughout the course of the day until that final drive. It was trending towards my bad list. They couldn't run it. They didn't want to run it, by the way. Remember, Patriots were first and goal from the one, and they decided to not even attempt running. It was when Brady got sacked twice in three plays, right down at the goal line. Aaron Hernandez has the 31-yard catch on the Patriots' fourth drive of the second half. Hernandez, 31 yards down to the one-yard line. Solder gets beat on one play with Brady, first down. Welker drops a touchdown on second down, and Brady gets dropped on third down by Koemisi. They didn't even try running the football from down there. So I thought for most of the day, not only couldn't the Patriots run the football, they didn't want to run the football. And then that final drive, to me, really came out of nowhere. It was impressive. And that and the defense are why I felt relatively good about the team. And here's another reason, bigger picture. You know, today I thought his day was somewhat up and down. He had one clear drop and one play that he had his hands on, but I thought was a poor throw by Brady. You can evaluate it however you'd like. Some people were saying Hernandez had two drops today. I didn't view it that way. But Aaron Hernandez, 8 catches, 97 yards, and more importantly, if you're watching him, some of that shiftiness appears to be back from Aaron Hernandez, making guys miss in the open field. You're going to want that. You know, before Rob Gronkowski comes back, but also for whenever Gronk gets healthy, that's what you want. That's what you want him to bring to the offense, and I thought he brought that today. I thought he looked pretty healthy on Thanksgiving against the Jets. He had that one 27-yard catch where you looked at it and you said, well, that was more than he gave you when he came back from injury for those two games against Seattle and the Jets earlier this season. I thought he had already looked better just in the Jets game, and today he backed that up. I would continue to expect big things out of Aaron Hernandez. You just hope the drops subside for both he and Welker, because they had some brutal drops today. They did. Let's continue with the phone calls. Melvin is in Tennessee. What were your thoughts on the game, Melvin?
Let's see. I thought it was kind of weird, to be honest, for a while. I thought that, once again, that New England offense had a chance to knock them out, give them that knockout blow. And they just, right when that started, maybe that two-position lead, they really didn't. They came with some three and outs, and they came with bad calls and came with miscues. So that was a concern for me. More of a concern is this kicker. Gostkowski, oh my gosh. I really was, you know, 50-50 throughout a lot of the game itself with his ability to make some field goals. Now, I mean, he's missed a couple of the last couple of games and kind of get me nervous, especially going down the stretch, you know.
But I do know, and Mel, we tossed that question out. You're the first one to address it. I would be nervous about Steven Gostkowski in a big spot. Playoff game or a close game that you need for home field advantage. One of these next 2 weeks, remember, and something I want to get into here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, these are the games we've kind of had circled all year. They're coming up now, right? The Texans game, the Niners game, it could decide home field advantage, particularly the game against the Texans. Like, to win this game and start working your way up the AFC East, yes, you need some help, but do you trust Steven Gostkowski in a big spot? My sense is most Patriots fans don't right now. He's missed field goals in three straight, and today was 49 yards. It's not a chip shot, but still, it's getting frustrating to see your kicker go out there and continue to miss kicks.
Right, and well, as far as some positive things on that, I think, of course, Trevor Scott did well coming in, stepping into that role, and we played good, solid defense for the most part. For the most part, I mean, you helped the team to 16 points, and but one bad drive was not our first and 25 and seeing together that the defense is really weird. It just lets people off with that. But prior to that, three and outs a lot. I thought they played well. I think as far as that's going, it seems like they're getting whatever strides they're getting. I'm seeing a consistent defense since probably late 2010 with the Steelers and who they play outside there. I think the Colts and then came the Bears and played some pretty tough teams, and they, you know, kept them in check for most of the games. Then I think Miami had some more games where they held just maybe 3 points. But I'm starting to really get concerned about the Shanko thing. I thought I didn't see him a lot today, and I'm wondering.
He was inactive, Melvin, and I appreciate the phone call. I thought that was a weird scratch. I thought it was weird that he was your designated to return from IR guy. Like, I thought that was weird that he was the guy. especially because we thought coming into the year the Patriots would have three healthy tight ends. Gronk and Hernandez, you know what they did last year. And they signed Daniel Fells for somewhat decent money. And you look at it and you go, well, what do they need a fourth tight end for? And then they add O'o Manawanui and they sign Jake Ballard. And, you know, they're infatuated with tight ends, which we get with some of the returns they've had this season. I understand it. But I thought that was weird right from the start. He was inactive today. I believe it was a healthy scratch. I thought that was weird. Now, I don't know who else you could have used the designated to return from IR spot on. I thought that was going to go to Jeff Demps, for instance. I thought that was sort of a wink-wink, nod-nod injury with Jeff Demps, where you put him on IR for 8 weeks or whatever it was. You get him to bulk up, get back into football shape, because he was training for the Olympics. He wasn't in football shape. Get him in football shape, and then he comes back and helps you at the midway point, whether it's special teams or out of the backfield or whatever it is. I thought that spot was going to go to him, and it went to Shenko. I thought that was weird right from the start. I wouldn't get too worked up over it. You know, I don't really anticipate him helping you much, if at all. So I question why you wasted that spot on him and why you're wasting a roster spot on him. But other than that, I don't think there's much to worry about with Shenko. Let's continue with the emails. Webradio at patriots.com. It's where Dean writes in from British Columbia. Adam, another AFC East title. Huge road win. Super stoked. Listen up. The offense might take some heat tonight on the show, but you answer me this. What other team in the NFL could have had their offensive line decimated with injury and even be competitive? The answer? Nobody. O-line started shaky but won us the game on that final drive. That's smash-mouth football, and I love it. And again, that's Dean writing in to webradio at patriots.com. Like I said, that would be my thing with the offensive line. And we had a caller earlier say, well, that was an issue for them. For me, it's not. If you're losing guys within a game, well, sure, then it's an issue. But if you're telling me Dante Scarnecchia has a week knowing who his guys are going to be leading up to it, I don't care who he has to coach up. I believe he'll do it. And yes, the Patriots have struggled in some Super Bowls against a dynamic New York Giants defensive line, but they're not the only team to do that. That defensive line is pretty good. And I think in general, the Patriots have done a good job protecting Tom Brady. So that's not an area of concern for me right now. And they were losing guys in game. You lost Dan Connolly in game. Not the first time this season it's happened, but you lose them in game, that's difficult for an offensive line, and it's a good point. How many teams are we looking at in the NFL, the Bears, the Packers, you know, teams that just can't protect their quarterback? The Patriots are doing it with 6th, 7th, 8th offensive linemen. It's a good point. It's a Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. We'll continue with the feedback, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. As promised, let's head to the podium and hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, whose team has captured 4 straight AFC East championships with a 23-16 win in Miami over the Dolphins.
No, that's good, but more importantly, we just got to keep working to get better. Still got a lot of football left to play, a long way to go. And, you know, hopefully we can continue to improve every week.
That last drive, 7 minutes, kind of clinched the game.
That's for our best drive of the day. So, yeah, we needed it, and you know, we got good contributions from everybody. We threw it, ran it, did a good job blocking, so that was good.
What adjustments you make in a running game as the game went on? Seems like early you guys really couldn't get anything cooking. Seems like Steven started to really run hard with, you know, Shane and mixed in there too, and of course Danny on third down.
Yeah, no, it's really, we didn't make any big adjustments. I think we just executed a little bit better. And we didn't really get a whole lot of running plays called, you know, I mean, so we ended up calling more of them.
Took advantage of a lot of mistakes by the Dolphins, roughing the kicker, fumbled deep in their own territory, capitalized on every one of them.
Yeah, well, let's try to do that every week. I always try to take advantage of the team's mistakes, caused a few.
Brandon Lloyd, one target, one catch, and that comes on the last drive. Especially since you were shorthanded wide receiver, was there any particular reason for that, or just the way the game fell?
No particular reason.
Bill, on the Mayo sack on that drive, 4 to 7 minute drive, is that a call blitz, or is that kind of like a club blitz where he meets the back?
You know, I'm not sure exactly how we had that going, so I have to see exactly what they had on the field.
Hey,
sure, but I think this was at a season low or close to a season low for yardage. Is there any gratification in knowing that you can still pull it out?
It's always good to win. Yeah, it's hard to win in this league, so it's always good to win. It's not about stats, it's about wins. And that's what we're here for.
You guys, again, had to make a lot of adjustments on the offensive line. Anything you guys
know? You know, we just keep slugging it out. Yeah.
You gonna wear the new hat and t-shirt home on the plane?
Well, it's good to have them. I don't know. It's good. It's always good to get one.
How important is it with the team being that young, clinching this, you know, this early in the season? There's still a lot of football left. The message that you send to them.
Yeah, we got a long way to go. We still got a quarter of the season left, and that's a lot of opportunities for us to improve, which we need to do. Certainly, a lot of things we can do better than what we did today. Coaching, playing, you know, everything. So we'll just keep working to get better each week. And you know, got a really good football team coming in, so. Getting ready for Houston, we know that'll be a big challenge, so we'll get back to work here and take them on.
Anything else, guys? Billy, you guys spread them out through a lot early in the game and came back to the line. Do you think that you might have to do that against the Dolphins defense? It's pretty good against the run.
Yeah, they're a good run defense. They got a lot of physical players up front, and you know, we thought we would be able to attack them. You know, attack the width of the field a little bit at times. But, you know, I mean, ultimately, you've got to balance things up, which we try to do. But, yeah, they're pretty, you know, I mean, they've got a good front. I mean, Wake, Starks, Solei, Audric, Comisi. I mean, there's, you know, McDaniels. Those guys are good. They're good players.
What did you think about your first look at Tannehill on the field?
Did some good things. Glad we have more points than they did. So that's the most important thing. Okay, thank you.
All right, it's Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following his team's 23-16 win in Miami over the Dolphins. Patriots move to 9-3. They capture the AFC's championship for the 10th time in 12 years under Bill Belichick. And you heard a few different things there from Belichick. Asked about the drive at the end of the game. He said they called a few more runs at the end, and certainly the Patriots threw it quite a bit today, 40 attempts. But overall, for the Patriots on the ground, 32 rushes. That's fairly split. I thought they tried to run, and I thought the Dolphins, for most of the game, didn't let them do it. And maybe the Patriots wore them down. Maybe they just had the right play calls at the right time. I don't know. But to me, when they had to run it, they did. But for the most part, they struggled, and they tried to run. They did. Outside of when they were first and goal from the 1 yard line, you know, outside of that, they tried to run. At least that was my view on it. Also, you heard Belichick talking about some of the upcoming games for the Patriots. And this is something I want to get into here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. This is the part of the schedule that we've all had circled. Really from the beginning of the season, with Houston looming a week from Monday, and then the Niners the Sunday after that, these next 2 weeks, these are games where nationally televised showcase games, Monday night, Sunday night football against some of the NFL's best, though San Francisco did lose today to the Rams in overtime after tying them earlier this year. So that'll take some of the shine
off the
Niners. Let
the controversy begin.
That'll take some of the shine off the Niners, no doubt about it. But Houston won again. They're 11-1. They're viewed as the best team in the AFC. They're coming into your house. You can knock them off. How do the Patriots stack up against these teams? In your view, you can weigh in. 508-298-0398. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. Also, just four games left in the regular season. The Patriots need to leapfrog Houston and Baltimore by two games each, though Baltimore in progress right now against the Pittsburgh Steelers, 3-3 ball game. But you need to leapfrog them by two games each. You have to finish a game in front of Baltimore because you dropped the head-to-head tiebreaker, and right now you're two games behind Houston. So you need to leapfrog them by two games each. How important is it for the Patriots to have a bye week in the postseason? You can weigh in on that as well, 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. And by the way, this shouldn't come as a shock. Patriots, now in the second half of the season, we mentioned they've run the table. Two straight seasons, 8-0 in the second half in 2010 and 2011. So far in the second half here in 2012, 4-0. Hung on to beat the Bills here at home, blew out Indianapolis, blew out New York in New York on Thanksgiving, and then went into Miami and won a tough divisional game to close out the division today, the fourth straight for Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, their fourth straight division title, as they take home the AFC East crown with a 23-16 win over the Miami Dolphins. We'll continue with your feedback, your bigger picture thoughts on the Patriots and how they stack up in the AFC. And we'll also head back to the podium and hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. That's next here on the Sunlight Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Uh-oh, Manuanui again, the fullback. Tailback is Ridley. In motion right to left comes Hernandez. Hand off to Ridley to the left side, trying to break a tackle. He does. He goes into the end zone standing up.
Stephen Ridley's rushing touchdown from a couple of yards out, courtesy of the Patriots Radio Network. as New England beats the Miami Dolphins 23-16 down in Miami. They close out the division. They're 10th in 12 seasons under Bill Belichick. Here's an interesting stat. Patriots just tweeted out. I had seen this floating around a little bit earlier. Tom Brady becomes the first starting quarterback in NFL history to win 10 division titles, surpassing Joe Montana's 9. That is impressive company for Tom Brady, and obviously someone close and near and dear to Tom Brady's heart as he grew up rooting for Joe Montana as a kid. It's Sunlight Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you here, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium on Patriots.com. We mentioned the rest of the AFC. I think with these two games looming for the Patriots, where they're at in their schedule, these next 2 weeks, and I think you could learn something about the Patriots today, and I think we did, against Miami. Maybe they can beat you in more ways than we thought. They can beat you without Tom Brady's best day. I think we learned some things today, and also the defense continues to make strides. But more so, these next 2 weeks are measuring stick games for the Patriots. I think specifically the game a week from tomorrow, Monday nighter here in Foxborough against the Houston Texans. They come in 11-1. They come in the quote-unquote class of the AFC. And if you beat them, then you're just a game behind them. And you have the tiebreaker. You'd hold the tiebreaker over the Texans. And they still have to deal with Andrew Luck and the Colts two more times. Colts come in at 8-4 after a walk-off win today. So who knows? Maybe they trip up in one of those games. You still got to win out. You got to beat the Niners the next week. But they look a bit more vulnerable after they've had massive struggles against the St. Louis Rams. And they lose today after tying them a few weeks ago. So, I don't know. These are measuring stick games for the Patriots. And how does New England stack up with both those teams? I think pretty good, to be quite frank. I like the way the Patriots stack up against the Houston Texans. That's a real good defense. But, I don't know, Matt Schaub, that offense, it doesn't scare me. At least the passing offense. Arian Foster, the ground attack, and the way the Patriots have been giving up more yards on the ground, sure, that would scare me a bit more. But Matt Schaub, I think if you can make the Texans one-dimensional, easier said than done, but if you can make them one-dimensional and he has to beat you with his arm, I don't think he can do it. So I like how the Patriots stack up against the Houston Texans, and we'll find out in 8 days here in Foxborough. I also like how they stack up with the Niners. And I would still be more afraid of Colin Kaepernick, by the way. And I know he struggled in that game today against St. Louis. I think he's more dynamic, and I think he has a chance to give you more fits. But I don't know, Patriots at home against a team that's struggling to beat the Rams the two times they played them this year. We saw what the Patriots did to the Rams on a neutral field. Yeah, I think they could take care of the Niners. I told you. I didn't give the Patriots a great chance to run the table in the second half, and I still wouldn't swear by it. But I don't know. These are by far and away the toughest games left, and I think it's becoming more and more obvious that the game on Monday night against Houston is the tougher of the two. So how do you feel about those games coming up on the Patriots' schedule? We're now into the meat of it. And how do you think the Patriots stack up with those teams? You can weigh in 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Anthony writes in from London. Adam, after blowing out so many teams throughout the season and them relying on the defense to end games like this, the first time out against the Jets or the second outing with Buffalo, I can't say how refreshing it is to finally see the offense close out in a tight game with a long sustained drive in the fourth quarter. Having looked back through the schedule, I think it's the first time we've managed it all season. It was just a shame it had to follow up by our porous pass defense rearing its ugly head on that last drive by Miami. And again, that's Anthony writing in from London. I don't think the porous pass defense really showed its ugly head on that last drive. I think that was more schematic. I would give the players on the field a little bit of leeway with that. It looked bad. Matthews, 28-yard catch on Alphonso Dennard. And Brian Hartline, 28-yard catch. And Aqib Talib was wide open. Excuse me. Talib left him wide open, rather. Left Hartline wide open. But in general, I think that was schematic. I think that was the Patriots not wanting to give up a touchdown at the end of the game. They were content with trading a field goal there, if that's what the Dolphins wanted to do. And they were content, more importantly, with Miami running clock. So my belief, I don't know this, but my belief, that was more schematic. My belief is that wasn't the guys all of a sudden getting beat on the final drive. And there were other games, by the way. I said it on this show. There were other games where the offense closed out at the end. I think the Denver game is an example very similar to this. 10-point game, just like today was. And you needed a long, sustained drive by your offense to close out Denver. You needed a drive where you could run clock and grind out Peyton Manning and just not give the football back to him. And I thought the Patriots did it in the second half of that game as well. They had some drives that put things out of reach. So that was a game where I looked at it, and maybe it didn't get capped with a touchdown at the end of it, just like today didn't. You know, you had to settle for a field goal in close. But again, the Patriots were content to run clock at that point in the game. So for me, I think the offense has done it at various points. I thought in the Buffalo game, and you look at it now, the first Buffalo game up there in September, you look at it and you say, well, 52-28, that's silly. There were times where the Patriots had to run it in that game, and the offense had to keep scoring, you know, because the Patriots' defense, we've seen it at times, is porous. It has been porous, but it's been trending in the right direction these last 3 weeks now, whether it was big plays in wins against the Colts and the Jets, or whether it's what we saw today, just an impressive overall performance where you just give up one long, sustained touchdown drive. Other than that, short field after Brady's interception, and another drive where, yes, they marched it down the field on you, but you know what? Ultimately, you got the play you needed to at the end of the drive to keep him out of the end zone, which to me was the most important thing on that drive. Mayo's sack. Let's continue with the emails. Webradio to Patriots.com, or at Patriots.com, rather. Ivan writes in there, Adam, I'm pleased with the progress of this team, and I feel we're Super Bowl contenders, but I got to say, we got lucky with two pass plays by Miami today. If I remember correctly, Tlaib and Arrington got beat on two separate deep plays that likely would have been a touchdown, but the receivers dropped the ball. Granted, the one thrown in Arrington's direction was underthrown. What are your thoughts about those two plays? Well, one wasn't Tlaib, and I first, trust me, and I've been critical of Tlaib at various points, specifically his first game against the Colts. I didn't think it was great. I think today was great, by the way. But that play that you're referencing, from people who were at the game, from people who could see it from the press box, that wasn't Tlaib. That was Steve Gregory was supposed to give him safety help on that play, and it was Hartline. Just torched him down the field. But Tlaib let him go because he thought he had safety help over the top. And Hartline was wide open. Tannehill just missed him. I believe he actually overthrew him on that play. But by people who were at the game, most felt it was Steve Gregory. So whatever, I'll give Tlaib a pass on that. Maybe there was a mix-up, but if it was Steve Gregory, it was Steve Gregory. He's been all over my bad list before, too. So I don't think that first play was Tlaib, but that's the play that I saw there. That was a mix-up by the safety. And the other play was, yeah, Kyle Arrington got torched. And I also think it was Hartline, though I didn't write down the receiver on the play, but Arrington had a pass breakup because the ball was so severely underthrown, and Arrington was beaten. I also believe that was Hartline on the play. Those are your two plays. But, I don't know, in general, the defense did a pretty good job. Would a better quarterback have exposed them a bit more? Probably so. I don't disagree with that. But, I don't know, Andrew Luck looked like a pretty good quarterback today against the Detroit Lions, and you made him look silly here. So, I think the Patriots have played pretty well against some decent quarterbacks this season. I didn't even think they played that poorly against Peyton Manning. You know, Manning put up big numbers in that game, but the Broncos scored, what, 21 points in that game? You'll take that against Peyton. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. Let's go to the phones. Vinny is in Michigan. What were your thoughts today, Vin?
Yeah, I think that if they went out, they're going to – I think they get the one seed, and here's why. You're obviously going to hold the tiebreak on Houston. And I got to think Andrew Luck is going to beat Houston once. And then Baltimore, although they're the luckiest and worst 9-2 team ever, as I've said before, they got the Broncos, they got the Giants, they got the – I believe they have the Bengals again. So.
I got it for you, Vin. You ready? It is Pittsburgh, who they're currently losing to, 6-3, at home, by the way. Then it's at Washington, home against Denver, home against the Giants, at Cincy. It's a tough schedule. You're right. I could see Baltimore dropping at least two of those games. So I don't disagree with you.
But see, I think you might be looking at the one seed there, and I think you need a bye. You at least need a bye week because of all the injuries we've had between the offensive line, the Gronkowski, the receivers. I think you need a bye week. I think a bye week will do you great. And I think someone said that not Tom Brady's best game, and he still came out with a win. I thought that was a good point.
Yeah, and, I agree, Vinny. And it's going back to what I was saying, but I thought that was more succinct and more to the point. And we appreciate the phone call. You beat a team without Tom Brady's best day. How many times this year have we said that? If Brady didn't have a good game, Seattle, Arizona, you lose. And I don't know. Seattle's looking like a better team than we thought. I would say Miami and Arizona are similar teams, and Miami's arguably better. Arizona started 4-0. They've dropped 8 straight, and they lost to the Jets today. Greg McElroy and the Jets, by the way, which we'll get to coming up here in a little bit when we go around the AFC East. So, I don't know, you've lost to bad teams before with bad quarterbacks before when Tom Brady didn't have his best game. They overcame that today. So, don't let anybody this week, and I've pulled this line before because there are games where I feel like you can't learn anything from the Patriots. You know, last year against the Colts here in Foxborough, against Dan Orlovsky, that's a game I don't think he could have learned anything about the Patriots, at least not anything good. The Chiefs last year on Monday Night Football, and what was the quarterback's name? What was the quarterback's name from the Chiefs, Collins?
Tyler Palco.
Palco. Beautiful. Thank you. Tyler Palco. I didn't think you could learn anything from that game. Like, call me crazy, I went into that one and I said, you're only learning bad things about your team in these games. Today, I don't feel that way. Today's a day where I think you could learn something about the team, and that was one of them. Tom Brady doesn't play his best? Well, guess what? You still got the win. The defense seems like it's trending in the right direction. It's going to get tested next week against Houston. It will. Whether it's the running game or even Matt Schaub. I wouldn't be afraid of Matt Schaub beating you in a big spot. I don't think he can beat you if he has to air it out, but he's had some good games, and he certainly has some quality weapons. Andre Johnson, Owen Daniels, obviously handing off to Arian Foster. So you'll get tested on that. Is the defense going to continue trending in the right direction? But there are things you can learn about the game today. Also, just considering what was at stake, the division, wrapping it up, it's hard for me to come in here and feel down about the win, in all honesty. Was it their best game? No. But I'm not down following this win. My sense is media members in this city might be on this one. And I've come in down after wins. I think a lot of us were after the Buffalo game. What was it, 4 weeks ago? You come in and you look at it and you go 37-31 at home against the Bills and you need a stop at the end of the game where Fitzpatrick throws it right to you. I don't know. I didn't feel good about that one. I didn't feel good about it when you beat the Jets in overtime here. But this one, I feel good about it, even though it was an ugly win and not your best. I do. You can weigh in 508-298-0398 or send your emails to webradio@patriots.com. It's Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you. And let Sun Life Financial help you protect your financial security, whether you're in the game or sidelined with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifebenefits.com, sunlifeknowsbenefits.com, rather, to learn more. Get the benefit. Get to know Sun Life. You've already heard from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Let's head back to the podium and hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady following his team's 23-16 win over the Miami Dolphins.
Hey, we had to go out and earn this one.
Sometimes the wins come ugly here in Miami, don't they?
Oh, that wasn't ugly. That was a great win. So, they made it tough on us. There's no question about it. But you know, I thought we fought hard. We made some critical plays when we needed to. And, we knew it was going to be tough, and it was. And they played really well, challenged us. Every single play was a challenge. And, we made some plays when we needed to, so it was a great win.
How about Wes Welker, another 10-catch performance for him? Yeah. Ridley goes over 1,000 yards.
Yeah. Well, those two guys have had great years, so we've had a lot of contribution from a lot of guys, and we're going to need to continue to have that. So, Coach said season starts now, so, we're 1-0 when we need to be.
That last drive, 7 minutes, and you guys put it together, put the game away. What was different about that last drive, really moving the ball well?
It was good execution. I thought, we did a good job making some critical plays when we need to. Really, the run game was huge. I thought, the running backs, ran really hard, protected the ball, got some great blocking up front. It's what we needed at that time. So, it's a very good run defense. Good group of linebackers are physical. They rush the passer. They really made it tough on us today.
How would you describe, you've done it 1,000 times, but the relationship you have with Wes and the ability to talk to you on the same page?
Yeah.
Where are you?
He's an unbelievable player and teammate and a friend, and nothing he does ever surprises me. So, he expects the best out of himself every single day, and that's what he brings to practice. That's what he brings to the games, and we couldn't be in this situation without him. So, I'm glad he's on our team, not the Dolphins.
Tom, what is the coach saying when he says, the season starts now, that you try to make a push for first seed and get into the playoffs in a good position? What's the idea behind that?
Well, this is when the best teams really start to separate themselves. So, You know, your depth is challenged, your mental toughness is challenged. You know, fighting through the bumps and bruises of a long season is a challenge, and getting contributions from a lot of people is a challenge, and that's what you need this time of year. So you got to continue to get better and better and better and string games together, string practices together. So when you need it the most, you know, you got it in the bank.
And how do you not let yourself, having gone five times to the big game, how do you not let yourself look ahead?
Well, it's easy. I think we're a long ways from that, and you can't play in that game without improving through the month of December. You know, November, December, that's when it's really important. So, you know, I think we've done that. You know, we keep working hard. You know, we listen to our coaching, and you know, we've won some great games here in the last 6 weeks.
I'm sure you've been talking to Rob Gronkowski. How much does he want to get back as quickly as possible with the team?
Well, he hates being out. I mean, he's as competitive as anybody. So, you know, it's hard to really match, you know, what he's able to do for us offensively. But the guys who have been in there have done a great job. So they've really stepped up to the challenge. No one was quite sure what was going to happen and how we're going to react. It was the first time that he's been out. But the guys have responded well. And we need to continue that. We got, you know, as tough a game as we played all year coming up next Monday night.
Tom, another division title. I mean, I guess it never gets old to see the hat and T-shirt hanging up in the locker when you come in.
No, it was great. I mean, we 5-0 in the division, so that's a pretty good mark. You know, against teams that we always play as tough. We've had some tough games against the Bills. You know, the first game against the Bills, you know, was tough through the third quarter. We were, you know, tough with the Jets there in overtime, and obviously tough today. So that's what it takes. You got to beat the teams in your division, and we're 5-0, and you know, we got a huge game coming up.
Next week. With as productive as your offense has been over this five-game winning streak, especially the last 2 years, how nice is it to have 17 points put out there for you pretty easy for you, your position where you are with Scott Convert?
Yeah, we got great field position today. Defense got some big turnovers for us in their scoring area, and you know, we didn't necessarily convert, you know, as often as we'd like, but those are important points. You know, it's nice to put some points on the board. You know, I wish they would all have been touchdowns, but you know, we got to execute better in order to do that.
How much did you anticipate this being a 15-round fight today, coming down here, just by what you saw on film and how the field is?
Well, the last three times we've been down here in December, we've lost. So that tells you, you know, it's challenging to play down here this time of year, and the crowd was into it. They were into it. It's not supposed to be easy, and it wasn't today. And I thought, you know, they played really well. They played really well defensively. They competed their butts off, and so did we. And that's, you know, it came down to the end. Thanks, guys. See you later.
All right, that's Patriots quarterback Tom Brady following his club's 23-16 win over the Miami Dolphins. Patriots lock up the division for the fourth straight season and the 10th time in Tom Brady's career. He's the only starting quarterback in NFL history to do that. By the way, I love how Brady started that. He's asked, make the wins ugly down here in Miami. The Dolphins have a way of doing this. And he said, no, that wasn't ugly, man. We didn't do what we wanted to do, necessarily. But we captured the division. We beat a tough team in Miami. I tend to agree. Trust me. I've come in here and poo-pooed close losses or close wins, rather, or ugly wins, or however you want to term them. But in general, I don't feel that way about this game. I thought there were positives in this one, both for the defense, for the way they were able to close the game out offensively, the way you're able to get a win when it wasn't Tom Brady's best day. I'd feel good about all those things. I do feel good about all those things for the Patriots. So, I don't know. That's kind of how I've come in and kind of looked at this thing throughout the course of this Sun Life Patriots postgame show, and you can weigh in as well. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. I thought this email was interesting, by the way, from Many. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. M-E-N-I. Many. Writes into webradio@patriots.com on the Dolphins postgame. And this is always interesting and always helpful to look at it from another perspective. On the Dolphins postgame, they're blaming the loss on two special teams plays. And I guess it's easy to forget about these. You know, one was basically the first play of the game. Dolphins turn it over, first drive of the game, rather. They turn it over on downs because they have a poor snap, and their punter, Fields, for whatever reason, can't seem to get the kickoff. Like, it seemed like he had time. He picked it up. He could have rugby kicked it, is how our producer Kevin Collins termed it, and I agree. I think he still could have got the kickoff. And he muffed the snap, and the Patriots get set up with excellent field position, the Miami 12, and they punch it in from 12 yards out on a two-yard run by Stephen Ridley. So that's a special teams miscue. And the other one was the roughing. If you remember this, and I had sort of forgotten it, to tell you the truth, by Smith of Miami, the roughing the kicker, where the Patriots went 13 plays, 75 yards for the Welker touchdown. Well, those are your two touchdowns on the day. Ridley's touchdown and Welker's touchdown. One was set up by a fumble, or whatever you want to call it, turnover on downs on the muff snap on a punt. And the other, the drive was extended when you ran into the kicker. So they were special teams miscues. I don't think one was a bad call in the case of running into Mesko. I certainly don't think that. But that's the spin from Miami. And you're right. Without those special teams miscues, the game looks much different. Especially the muff punt. I mean, that's how the Patriots start in business. And outside of the play that was extended, or the drive that was extended on running into Mesko, 13 plays, 75 yards, that's the only long extended touchdown drive the Patriots had all day. You know, they got another touchdown drive, but they only had to go 12 yards. Their other ones, 11 for 43, resulted in Gostkowski's missed field goal from 49 yards out. They also had 13-66, Gostkowski field goal. And then what I thought was their best drive of the game, 16 plays, 77 yards. They settled for a field goal, but they also won the game in the process by running off over 7 minutes of clock. But I guess if you're in Miami, I can see it that way. Sure, special teams miscues are what killed it for Miami. You know, one may have been the Patriots making a play on the bad snap, the muff punt, whatever it was. You know, they still got to go in there. They still have to make sure the punter doesn't get the kickoff. But yeah, I can see being disappointed by that if you're a Dolphins fan, and I can see, quote-unquote, blaming the game on that. I get it. One quick tweet here, at Adam Jones, ESPN, from MevDoc, writes in, Adam, home field advantages and all that. Giants proved it. I'd rather go easy the last few games than go ballistic, in the playoffs. And I understand that point, but the Giants did it that way. I look at every time the Patriots have gotten there, and that's not how they did it. You know, the Patriots last year, for instance, had home field advantage, and it wound up being pretty key. The Ravens had to play you up here instead of down there. And that was a big game, and who knows whether Cundiff hits the kick here or in Baltimore instead of here. Who knows the answer to that? That could have been the difference. So, I don't know. I thought that was important. I don't know if it was the bye week per se, but you got the Broncos in the second round because you didn't have to play on wild card weekend. 2007, when you got to the Super Bowl, you had a bye week and home field advantage throughout. 2004, you didn't have home field advantage, but you had a bye week. You had to go into Pittsburgh and beat the Steelers, but you did. 2003, you had home field advantage throughout. And even 2001, you know, again, you weren't the number one team. You had to go into Pittsburgh, but you still had the bye week. So for the Patriots, I don't know, the five Super Bowls they've been to under Bill Belichick and the one before that, I don't know how relevant it is, but the one before that, same deal. You know, you've had the bye week. You've had home field advantage in some capacity. So yeah, if you're the Patriots, you want that. I do anyway. And I don't know that they're going to get it, but we referenced Baltimore's schedule, and I misspoke earlier. Baltimore was winning that game 6-3. They've since added a touchdown. So they're on top of Pittsburgh right now, 13-3. Pittsburgh's without Big Ben. Wouldn't say that bodes well for the Steelers. So potentially another Baltimore win here. But Houston, you can beat them head-to-head, and then maybe they trip up in one of those two games against Andrew Luck and the Colts, who moved to 8-4 earlier today. It's the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can get in touch, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll take your thoughts on the Patriots' win today over the Miami Dolphins, 23-16, and what it means for their playoff seeding, the chances that they wind up with a bye week. We'll take your thoughts there. We'll also head back to the podium and hear from one of the members of the New England Patriots defense. That's next on patriots.com.
Ah.
That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Second down and goal, Miami 7. Pass to the right, it's a screen pass to Welker. He's going to go to the end zone, standing up, touchdown. Wow, that was like stealing.
Pay him.
That was like stealing.
Period. Can't cover him.
Pay him, says Scott Zolak of the Patriots Radio Network, Gil Santos as well. After Wes Welker's touchdown, as the Patriots beat the Miami Dolphins 23-16, their fourth straight division title and their 10th in 12 years. They now move to 9-3. They're a game behind Baltimore in the AFC, though really, we know that's two games because Baltimore beat you head-to-head. Ravens right now on top of the Steelers, by the way, 13-3 in Baltimore. And the Patriots are two games behind Houston, who sits there at 11-1. Houston will be coming into Foxborough a week from tomorrow on Monday Night Football, as the Patriots will get a chance to knock off the Texans. So we've been talking about the Patriots how they fit into this AFC playoff picture. Do you see them getting a bye week? Is it even important? You can weigh in here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. You can get in touch. Give us a call, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. One quick note that I want to reiterate that we got to off the top of the program, but in case you're just tuning in, Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman seen in crutches and a walking boot following the game. You got to wonder what that means for the Patriots at wide receiver. Right now, your healthy receivers are Welker, who had a monumental day today. You heard Zoe opining for the Patriots to pay him. He had 12 catches over 100 yards. It is the 16th career game with double-digit catches and 100-plus yards for Welker. It's the most in NFL history. So you have Welker. He's been good. Lloyd, mostly invisible today. And your third receiver right now, I believe, is Matthew Slater. So do you sign Deion Branch? Do you sign Dante Stallworth? Do you look at Deion Stallworth, Collins? He's a pretty good player as well. Or do you look at someone like Jabbar Gaffney, who I believe is suspended right now?
He's suspended for two games.
But players who have been here, they were here earlier in training camp, they've been here in the past, are those guys maybe you look to? And Pittsburgh has pulled back within a touchdown, by the way, 13-6.
They're hanging around.
After a field goal right before halftime, but Batch missed Mike Wallace wide open in the end zone, which would have pulled him within three.
Sounds par for the course.
But what do the Patriots do at wide receiver if Julian Edelman is going to be out for any stretch of time? We know it's a tight end heavy offense. We know that. But I'd expect them to bring in another body at wide receiver, if nothing else. We mentioned you can get in touch, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. To where our buddy Maurice in Alabama writes in, Adam, like the game, but what made me upset at times is they refused to run the football. And I've referenced this on the post-game show.
Holy crap, by the way.
Specifically, what?
What an awful,
oh,
awful
I know. I just told you. Batch missed Mike Wallace wide open
that,
in the end zone.
I mean, yeah. You know that show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? A fifth grader could have made that throw.
Can you throw the football better than Charlie Batch?
I could have thrown that ball left-handed.
Hosted by Jeff Foxworthy. I can see it. But anyway, what Maurice is saying, and I referenced this earlier, it was like they didn't want to run. They were first and goal at the one. Brady gets sacked. Welker drops a touchdown. Brady gets sacked again. Vollmer gets beat by Cameron Wake, and it's ugly. And they don't even want to run the football, which I think was frustrating. And Maurice says he was frustrated by it. It just seems they weren't committed to running early on, but they got back to it in the fourth quarter and were able to put the game away with the run. And I think as much as they struggled with the run today, that final drive was awesome. 16 plays, 77 yards. You eat up more than 7 minutes of the clock. The game was over right then and there. We talked to a Patriots offensive lineman, Donald Thomas, earlier on the show, and he said it's fun to be out there for drives like that. I don't know how it couldn't be. Maurice continues, I think we're spending too much time worried about playoff seeding. If it helps the Patriots to get healthy, fine. But that's the only reason it should matter. We saw a couple years ago, they had the number one seed and lost to the Jets. I care about Super Bowls, not seeding. Great teams can win anywhere. True, and the loss to the Jets is a good point, but every time the Patriots have been to the Super Bowl under Bill Belichick, they had the bye. They may not have had home field advantage throughout. Like, they've had to go into Pittsburgh twice and win there in the AFC Championship game. But all five times, they've had the bye week. 2001, you were the two seed. 2003, you were the one seed. 2004, two seed. 2007 and last year, one seed. And last year, it was pretty damn important to have Baltimore come in here. Who knows if Billy Cundiff makes that kick at home. And we saw the Ravens are a different team at home. They never lose there. And they're beating Pittsburgh there right now. So it was pretty important last year. So, yes, did it make any difference in 2010? It's a good point. No, it didn't. But when the Patriots have got to the Super Bowl, they've always had that bye week. So I would want them to have the bye week. I think that's important. And a win over Houston 8 days from now would go a long way to determining that. We've gone to the podium a few different times here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. You always hear from the head coach, Bill Belichick. You always hear from the quarterback, Tom Brady. Let's head back to the podium following the Patriots' 23-16 win in Miami and hear from a member of the defense. Defensive lineman Vince Wilfork recovered a fumble in the Patriots' win today.
What's going on?
It was a 15-round fight kind of out there. Did you anticipate that coming in?
Absolutely. We knew this team was going to be tough. And I said before, early in this week, this team is 5-6, but they shouldn't be. They're a lot better than 5-6 at the time. So we knew we had our hands full coming down here, South Florida, playing against these guys. No matter what the records or the stats say, we knew they was going to come out fight. So everything they gave us, we knew they was going to get us. We knew it was going to be, you know, pretty tough coming down here. So I think everybody kept their composure, stayed poised through the ups and downs. Never got too high, never got too low. So we knew they was going to make a run at some point. You know, we knew they was going to make a couple plays at some point. So we knew we just had to counter that and just get back to playing a good fundamental football if that happened. So, and I think we just stuck together. We played well. In some certain situations, we played well, and it helped us a lot today.
Vince, why not a bigger celebration over winning the division?
I mean, you move on with stride. I mean, we know we accomplished something, but in the grand scheme of things, you know, we still have a long season to play. You know, we still, upcoming week's going to be very tough starting with, you know, Houston. So we know how important it is to, you know, get back on track and stay grounded and continue to push forward one game at a time. So that's what we're doing.
Hey, Vince, right place, right time for you always. Ball on the ground, you recover the fumble, pick it up and go give it to your wife, Bianca. How special is that?
Absolutely. You know, every ball I get, she gets. So it's not mine. It's like I make plays for her. So she was excited. I was excited. Team was excited. You know, that was this defense. We've done a real good job around here of turning over, getting turnovers. And, you know, it kind of, you know, we had a couple on the ground today, but we didn't get, so we, you know, we walked away with one. But, you know, it's always good to get them. And I was just at the right place at the right time, and I was pretty excited about it.
Is it like the Yankees that have to win a Super Bowl or else it really doesn't matter for the Patriots?
I mean, that's so far to reach right now, Super Bowl. I mean, we still have a long season left, and that's the last thing on our mind is the Super Bowl. So, like I said, it's going to start. It started today with the Dolphins. Coming here, we knew it was at stake. We can clinch up the division today. We came here, we took care of that. So now we know we have Houston coming to town, a very, very, very good team, one of the best teams in the NFL. So we're going to keep it one game at a time, and whatever happens at the end of the season happens. But we're not even thinking about or talking about playoffs and Super Bowl right now. It's a one-game season for us right now.
Vince, feel pretty good as a defensive unit to kind of keep the offense in the game when they weren't putting up as many points as you normally see.
You know what? It's good. Especially, you know, when offense struggle, it's a chance for us to showcase how special we are on the defense. And we went out there. We didn't give up a lot of points today. We had some three and outs. We made some plays. But offense is okay to have a bad game here and there. You know, they've done so much for us. And one thing we want to do around here, we always want to play as a team. You know, the three units, the special team, offensive, defense, you know, if one is slacking, the other two can help pull them up. But when you have two and three slacking, that's when you get problems. But tonight, you know what, offense got it together. They started running the ball more. And as a defense, I love to see my offense run the football because I know we have great running backs. We have great blockers. We face those guys all the time in practice. And when we started running the ball, that was pretty exciting to see from my defensive end. So I was kind of pumped up on the sideline with that.
Thank you, Vince.
All right, guys.
Patriots defensive lineman Vince Wilfork following the Patriots 23-16 win in Miami over the Dolphins. We mentioned hat and t-shirt game for the Pats as they win their fourth straight division title. And Vince was asked about it. You know, why aren't you guys more excited about this? Why wasn't it a more jovial atmosphere? And he said, well, you know, look, this is it's the first goal. It's the first thing we're looking for every single season. And for the Patriots, they do tend to do it just about every single season. For the 10th time in 12 years, the Patriots have captured the division title. And as we said, the fourth year in a row. By the way, if you're looking at the AFC hierarchy, as long as the Patriots don't lose, you don't have to worry about the Denver Broncos since you beat them head-to-head. But Broncos did just jump in front of Tampa Bay. Touchdown from Peyton Manning to Demaryius Thomas. They are on top 13-10 with an extra point pending in Denver. So something to keep an eye on. In the AFC East, also Baltimore, or in the AFC rather, Baltimore on top of the Steelers 13-6 at halftime in that one from M&T Bank Stadium. And since we're looking at the rest of the AFC, let's look specifically at the division as we go around the AFC East.
It's time to go around the AFC East on the Sunlight Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
And look, you know what the Patriots did to the Dolphins today? As Miami falls to 5-7, next up for them, at San Francisco next weekend. So if you want to tune in and get a look at the Patriots' opponent following the Texans, you can do that next Sunday. Next Sunday is a nice opportunity, by the way, to sit down, watch some games, and lead into the Patriots the following night. You can actually do that the next 2 weeks with the Patriots on Monday night and Sunday night football each of the next 2 weeks. So maybe a game worth watching. Get a little advanced scout on the 49ers. You can watch the Miami team that the Patriots just beat today. They fall to 5-7. Elsewhere in the division, and the story of the day in the division, Jets dropped to 5-7, or excuse me, improved to 5-7 with a 7-6 win, barn burner, against the Arizona Cardinals in New York. But the story is Mark Sanchez benched after throwing three picks in that game, replaced by Greg McElroy, not Tim Tebow, who was inactive with rib injuries, or two broken ribs, rather. Greg McElroy, 5-7, 29 yards passing, not huge numbers, but did have the only touchdown in an ugly, ugly win over Arizona. Next up for the Jets at Jacksonville. Seems like a winnable game. Maybe the Jets can salvage something. Rex Ryan, by the way, has come out and not committed to a quarterback following that game. Can't say I blame him. You're not going to say Greg McElroy is your starter in the immediate aftermath. You got to talk to Mark Sanchez if that's what they're going to do. And Sanchez was abysmal in this one, less than 100 yards passing. And as we said, three picks in a game that the Jets were losing for a good chunk, 3-0. Buffalo also picked up a win in the division today. They improved to 5-7. 34-18 win against the next opponent for the Jets, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Fred Jackson led the way on the ground for the Buffalo Bills, 109 yards, as the Bills will be taking on St. Louis. That's the next opponent for them. So that's around the AFC East. Look, Patriots have already wrapped up the division, but all the other teams sit there at 5-7. And I do think the New York Jets storyline is somewhat interesting. Is Tannenbaum's trying to save his job. Rex Ryan is trying to save his job. Who knows what Mark Sanchez did to his job today against the Arizona Cardinals. Let's go back to the emails, webradio@patriots.com. It's where Wyatt writes in, Adam, thought our defense came through and helped us win today when our offense wasn't as good as normal. I thought Tlaib was doing a good job in coverage. Did you notice anything in Tlaib's coverage? Thanks. I thought he was good for most of the day. And that's not to say he didn't get beat. There was the play we already referenced earlier where I think it was on Steve Gregory, just from reading tweets and blog entries and things of that nature from people who were at the game. But the play where Brian Hartline ran away from Tlaib, it seemed like he was passing him off to a safety that wasn't there. So don't put that one on Tlaib. But there was a 3rd-and-3 play where Tlaib was pretty much step for step with Hartline, but Hartline got a 17-yard catch on a 3rd down. Wouldn't say it was poor coverage by Tlaib by any means, but still got beat. There was also a 22-yard play on 3rd-and-11. Hartline got wide open, and again, it was Tlaib. And there was another play that we referenced, and this one I would put less on him and more on the scheme, where 28 yards, again, to Hartline, and it seemed like Tlaib just didn't even bother covering Hartline. And Hartline was able to get out of bounds. So that one, to me, was frustrating, as well as the 22-yarder on a 3rd-and-11 conversion. But the 17-yarder to Hartline didn't bother me that much because he was there. He was maybe a step behind the play, but pretty tight in coverage. And the other play we referenced was more Gregory, I think. So I actually thought he had a pretty good day. And I was pretty critical of Tlaib in his first couple of games, but or his first game against the Colts. But his last two, I think he's looked pretty good. And one more from Mel in Tennessee. He called earlier. He also emails into webradio@patriots.com. If I can weigh back in, I'm more afraid of San Francisco than the Texans. I think they'll be tougher to score on, and their offense is unpredictable. Plus, Schaub can't throw. This is the best pre-playoff run you can ask for. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. I mean, you don't want to drop them both, but certainly if you win a couple of games, or if you win even one of the two, I think that's a win you can hang your hat on. I agree with that. Is San Francisco a better test? I don't think so. I think their defense is better than Houston's. I don't disagree with that part of it. But Houston's the game you want more. Thus, it's the better test, in my view. That's the game that decides more in the AFC. It's a team you might see again in the AFC portion of the playoffs. So that's the game I'd be putting more stock into. And I just think the Texans are a more balanced team. Their defense might not be as good as the Niners, but their offense as a whole is better. And I still like the Kaepernick move for the Niners. I know they lost today. I still like that move for them. But I think the more impressive win and the win you got to have, Houston on Monday night, 8 days away. And I'll talk to you leading up to that one on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Andy Hart and Paul Perillo will all be here a week from Monday leading into that one. And I will talk to you following that game here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, as we do after each and every Patriots game, right here on Patriots.com.
This has been the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Next Monday, the Patriots return home to play on Monday Night Football against the Houston Texans. Kickoff from Gillette Stadium is set for 8:30 p.m. Be sure to tune in to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social at 6 p.m., followed by the Sun Life Patriots postgame show immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.